97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. TJ. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hi.
Today on the show, we are going to talk about what it's like to go gluten-free and dairy-free. So it should be fun and exciting to show.
Yeah, so I think we've done shows before. We've certainly talked about it before, the reasons why you may want to avoid gluten and dairy. So that isn't what we're doing today. But for those who are interested in switching to a dairy-free and gluten-free diet, we want to give you some practical tips on where do you start? What are some of the first steps you can take to transition, and what are some places to look out for? Just kind of very beginning steps and things that we've learned along the way in transitioning to a dairy-free and gluten-free diet.
So I'll let you start off and pick a place where you want to start with this regarding, like, if someone's wanting to be gluten-free and dairy-free and they want to do both, is there one that they should do first? Is either gluten-free or dairy-free easier? And if one is easier, which one would you recommend?
Well, from a health perspective, you're going to have to answer that. You know, which is...
No, this is about ease of use. This is about ease of implementation. We already know that people need to be gluten-free and dairy-free, period, cut and dried. Gluten's not really good for anyone. Dairy's not really that great for anyone. So with that being said, someone wants to go gluten-free, dairy-free, which, if they're going to do both and they want to say, okay, I want to start with this slowly because it's overwhelming for me, because I think a lot of people are in that I'm overwhelmed boat.
Right.
Which one do they pick?
Okay. I will give what my opinion is, and that is, if you're overhauling your diet, for me personally, it's better to just knock them both out at once. Now, I guess...
Ooh, good answer.
I mean, I know that probably is going to seem a little bit overwhelming, but I'll be honest, it's going to seem overwhelming if you're just cutting out gluten or just cutting out dairy, because this is a complete diet change. It really is. And so for me, I'd rather get through that overwhelmed part all at once instead of having to go through it twice. And I think that leads into, you know, one of my big points here is you can't expect to switch your, you know, gluten-containing products for gluten-free products and your dairy-containing products for dairy-free products and not see a difference in taste and texture. I think that I hear a lot from people that make this transition and they're like, it just doesn't taste the same. And my answer is, of course it doesn't. It's not going to. And you just have to get past that. If you want to make the transition and not notice a difference, you are going to be disappointed, because it is not going to taste the same. It's just not. So you're going to have to do a complete overhaul, in my opinion. Now, there are some things that you will be able to switch out and you won't notice much of a difference, or over time you will get used to. But for the most part, you're not going to be able to take the recipes you're used to making and switch out the products
that are full of milk and cheese.
Right. Well, and okay, so that's a good point. I think in some respects, you know, both gluten and dairy are hard to eliminate from your diet. But for me personally, the dairy-free alternatives were harder. The two easiest things for me to switch with dairy is if I wanted any ice cream, because there are great ice cream alternatives. There's almond milk ice cream and cashew milk. Those are probably my two favorites. But there's
rice,
coconut, and rice and soy. I mean, there are so many alternatives, and they taste good. I mean, it's ice cream. The other thing that was easy, in my opinion, was coffee creamer. If you use coffee creamer and you want to switch out a dairy creamer into a non-dairy, there are a lot of good alternatives. And so those were pretty simple. Cheese, not easy.
No.
I mean, and there are a lot of people who are dairy-free or are eating vegan, and they will tell you there are a lot of good alternatives. In my personal opinion, you can get used to those new tastes, and they don't taste bad, but they don't taste like cheese, like that you're used to. The same with milk. I always say, plan on trying some different milk alternatives. Find one that has a taste that you're okay with or that you like, but don't expect the milk to taste like cow's milk. It won't taste like cow's milk. It's not cow's milk. So I just think you have to make sure that your expectations are reasonable going into this. And, you know, with gluten, it's more of a texture issue than a taste issue, right? I mean, wouldn't you say, DJ?
I would agree. With gluten, it's definitely a texture issue. Gluten-free, a lot of gluten-free products are a little more grainy, a little more mealy.
Right. They don't stick together as well, because that's what gluten does.
Yeah, but once you figure out what your personal tastes are, you'll find things that work well for you. There's just going to be a trial and error period. You have to accept that, okay, I'm going to buy this, I don't know, say you're trying to replace a loaf of bread and you're trying a gluten-free bread. You may have to try four or five different types of gluten-free bread before you actually find one that you personally like.
Right.
I mean, we've gone through that ourselves. We'll try one. We'll be on a vacation or something, and they don't have what we're used to, and so we're like, okay, well, let's try this one. Well, a lot of times we'll buy two or three different types of loaves because I don't want to run the risk of it not being right, and I have to go back again. I'll just buy a couple of loaves, and we'll try a couple of them and just see what happens. And we always find something.
Right. And I think, you know, I really want to be able to give practical advice here. Like, what do you look for at the store? Currently, we tend to purchase char bread, which is S-C-H-A-R. Isn't that right?
I think that's right.
Something like that. Because it's easy for us to find. It's always at our local grocery store.
And it's in a lot of places that we've traveled to.
Right. And so it's one that we tend to pick up. They also have different rolls and buns.
I don't like their hamburger buns, though.
Yeah. I mean, they're, you know, it's hit or miss on some of this.
Their ciabatta rolls are great.
Are great.
Their hamburger buns, to me, are very, very grainy. Mm-hmm. I just don't like that, personally. Aaron likes them. I don't care
They're
for them.
They're fine. But I think there was one, was it Better Today?
Better Way,
that we used to like, and we can't find at our grocery store. That was another one that we really liked.
It was my favorite. And we know that it sold well because they had their own private little stand in our grocery store, and it was always empty. I actually ran into the guy that filled it, and he was like, I can't keep them in this store. And then all of a sudden, they just quit carrying it.
Right, and I don't know.
And that was pre-pandemic. That wasn't a pandemic-inspired stopping carrying
there. Isn't it Knick bread that we've tried?
Knick.
We've never been able to find that at our local grocery store, but we've traveled to other places, and we've had that, and we've been able to get it, and it's really good, too. So those are just a few options, because we have gone through so many different brands that, to us, just don't taste normal. Now, I will say, we were never huge bread eaters, but we have... We eat even less bread now. It's fairly rare that we always have it, just in case, you know, we, you know, run into a bind and we, you know, need to make a sandwich or something. We don't have something else available. And
I probably eat it more than you do.
Yeah, I don't.
And the kids definitely don't eat it.
Yeah. And I eat bread very rarely. But I want to give you very practical things. If you're going to the store and you're making a list, okay, here's, you know, these are some brands you can look for that are not too much of a transition from gluten-containing bread. As far as dairy, I know I mentioned that cheese is difficult. It is. We use Daiya. Is it Daiya? Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know.
It's D-A-I-Y-A. I have been told by numerous people who eat dairy-free that it is by far the best. I'll be honest. I have not tried a lot of cheese alternatives. I just don't eat it because I've not been a fan of the cheese alternatives I've tried.
I eat it. I don't mind it.
Yeah, you don't. And we do at times feed our kids the Daiya cheese. There's sometimes when I'll make something for them that I just need it to stick together. And so we usually have the shredded cheese at home in case I want to put that in something. And they love it. They've never had real cheese, so they don't know what they're missing. But it's not... it's not bad, and it melts well, and that's, I think, a big problem with some of the cheese alternatives is that it doesn't really melt. So there's another thing you can look for if you're... There's also, and I don't remember the brand, but I think we got it at Trader Joe's, that is a cashew cheese dip. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's not too bad. And I don't remember what the brand name is, but I know I've talked to a lot of people who use that also. So there are a couple of things that you can use if you're really missing dairy.
The key takeaway, though, is just remembering that it's not going to be the same. it's going to be different. It's you may have to get used to, or you will have to get used to, things not being quite the same consistency, not tasting quite the same. It's just different.
Well, and yeah, if you're wanting to eat the same foods, and that kind of leads me to my next point, which is it's better to focus on whole foods. A lot of people come to us and say, okay, what do I need to look for in the label? Like, what are the triggers? And we're like, try not to have things with labels.
That's the easiest thing for me. I'm just like, eat meat and vegetables.
Right. You know, you can have potatoes. A lot of people question oats with gluten, and the answer is oats do not have gluten in them, but the vast majority of oats are processed in facilities that also process wheat. So do not eat oats unless it says gluten-free on it. That's something to watch. But oats are another thing that is a good switch if you're missing, I mean, it's filling, kind of like gluten-containing products are.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we are going to continue talking about some practical tips for someone going gluten-free and dairy-free. And welcome back, everyone. If you're just tuning in today, we are talking about practical tips for someone who is going gluten-free and dairy-free. And the first segment was just loaded with info. We just blasted people with it. It was great. Go back, listen to it. If you missed, if you're just tuning in, be sure to check the podcast.
I don't know. We've got a lot more information to get to, because I feel like all
up.
I said was, there's not a lot of,
We gave brands of things that we like personally.
Okay, so let's continue on doing that. I think that hopefully that will be helpful to people who are looking to transition. So I think where we left off, we were talking about, you know, it's easiest to focus on whole foods.
And that's what I tell people in the office. When they come in, they're like, well, what do I eat? I'm like, you eat meat and you eat vegetables. It's simple. It doesn't come from a package. You want to transition and be all in, that's how you eat. Stop eating stuff out of a package. That's because there's so much label reading and looking for. Not everyone, the gluten-free logo on packaged foods isn't universal. Some places it's just gluten-free written in text down in a corner somewhere. Other places you have the little circle with the GF in it. Sometimes you have a little symbol, wheat symbol with a line, a circle and a line through it. Like, how things are marked gluten-free on packaging, if you're new, it's difficult to learn, because you're going to spend 2 hours in a grocery store just looking at packaging and being like, well, I can't figure out if this is gluten-free or not.
Well, yeah. And that being said, I think if we're able to get to it today, if not, we will do another show on this about some packaged foods that you can reach for. Because again, it's, you need to have some things that you know you can eat if times come when you just aren't prepared, right? Because you're going to have to eat. But I do think the easiest thing is to try to focus on whole foods, try to get foods without labels, and not just because it's difficult to tell if they're gluten-free, but also because while there are plenty of good gluten and dairy alternatives out there, plenty of them are full of even more sugar and chemicals than were in the gluten and dairy products, and they can wreak even more havoc on your system than dairy and gluten containing products. So it doesn't, dairy free and gluten free does not equal healthy.
That is so true. And this I'm gonna sidebar here and talk about, we've had some patients in the office that are like, oh no, I'm gluten free, dairy free, and I'm like, okay, that's great. And then, you know, they're not getting better, or they have a question, and I'm like, well, that's a nutritionist question. I don't really handle a lot of those questions. I let Kate, our nurse that in our office that is our nutritionist, answer a lot of these questions. And then she'll come back to me, and she has on more than one occasion came back and like, so and so is eating gluten free, but they're only eating gluten-free cookies and cakes and candies and things, and they're not actually eating. It's all gluten-free packaged foods that aren't really that good for them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why didn't I know this? And so then we have to have a whole other consultation with the person saying, hey, look, we've got to change this. No wonder you're not feeling as good as you could be. Yeah, you've switched to gluten-free, but you're eating gluten-free processed packaged stuff, which also isn't healthy, just like Aaron said.
Right. Well, and I've seen that too. People who go through making home cooked meals and then they have to switch to gluten-free and dairy-free. So they start looking for ways to, you know, shorten their time because they don't have recipes that, that they know of that are gluten-free and dairy-free. So they start going to packaged foods because they're not sure what to make. And they're not going to feel better at all. They may actually feel worse because going from a home-cooked meal that contains gluten and dairy to packaged foods that don't contain gluten and dairy, it's kind of a wash, to be honest. I mean, like, it's good to not have the gluten and dairy, but, you know, as we mentioned, there are all sorts of other additives in packaged products, period. So if you were staying away from packaged products and now you're using packaged products, you just need to be careful with what you're switching to in terms of, you know, eliminating the gluten and the dairy. And especially patients that we have in our office are usually coming to us for other health issues. So they need the nutrients more than ever. And you probably do too. Anyone who's listening, if you've been eating gluten and dairy, you're probably not getting the nutrients you need. Your body is probably hungry for nutrients. You need to be eating whole foods because that's the only way to fix any problems that you have. Your body can't function if it doesn't have the nutrients that it needs.
And then there's the, let us not forget the added cost of packaged gluten-free and dairy-free foods.
I mean, everybody, you know, has probably heard, if you've looked, you know, packaged gluten-free and dairy-free products are expensive. And so, yeah, TJ and I have talked about this before, the fact that we get frustrated when people are like, I would love to eat dairy-free and gluten-free, but it's so expensive. And I'm like, potatoes are the same cost for everyone. I mean, you know, so if you are concerned about the cost, you're probably looking at packaged foods, which you shouldn't be anyway. Right? I mean, you can eat green beans and broccoli and cauliflower and, you know, a steak. Yeah, and potatoes.
Now you're speaking my language. Steak.
Well, if you're eating whole foods, the cost isn't going to change at all. It's just not. You know, yes, packaged foods that are gluten-free or dairy-free are going to be more expensive. And that's one of the reasons why we want to do this show, because I think it's really frustrating when you first start to transition, if you're going after those packaged foods and trying to eliminate gluten and dairy, you're going to find a lot of them don't taste right. So we are going to talk about some brands that are, that, you know, we found that we like, but in general, just try to stay away from it is our advice. And I know that's probably not what a lot of you want to hear, but that's what's going to be the easiest in the long run. And your taste buds will accommodate that.
But that leads us right into another point. If you're used to cooking with gluten and dairy, like Aaron said, and now all of a sudden you're shifting away from that and you're using more whole foods and you're keeping your food bill and your food costs down, the key to that is thinking ahead, preparing, planning, and knowing when I go to the grocery store, I'm going to buy these things. I need these ingredients for these meals that I'm going to fix. Like, get it out of your brain that you need to make some big, complicated, multi-ingredient recipe. Like, I make 2 and 3 ingredient things all the time for the kids and for us, and it's perfectly fine. You can saute some vegetables, throw some meat together, and boom, you've got your own meal that will last you three to four meals doing it that way. You can have some for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, really, because I talk with, you know, this is not the show for that, but, you know, changing what you eat for breakfast to look more like dinner, like preparing and thinking about these things and knowing when I go to the store, this is what I'm going to buy because this is what I need, is just another step and another piece of the puzzle in the transition to gluten-free and dairy-free.
Right. I think that's a good point. When you're transitioning, you have to think ahead. You have to start thinking about meal planning. Now, there are a few things I want to say about that. Of course, it's best if you're able to kind of plan your meal, your week in advance, right? Like, what are you going to eat for each meal? And then you know what ingredients you need. But life happens, right? I mean, we certainly have had situations where we're like, what are we going to eat for dinner tonight? Here's my tip for that, and something that we started a long time ago. I mean, I don't know if it was, you know, when we first transitioned, but we learned pretty quick, you have to have a backup because you can't just like go through fast food. You shouldn't be doing that anyway. But It's not that easy to just order from a restaurant because you have a much greater chance of cross-contamination. So what we do is we have a number of things that we always have in the freezer that we've made. So one of them is vegetable soup. Always have it in the freezer or the fridge. It's super basic, just, you know, vegetables and some diced tomatoes and ground beef is pretty much all it is, and spices.
Or turkey.
Or turkey, ground turkey. And actually, yeah, we probably use ground turkey even more often.
Yeah.
But make some things ahead to have in your freezer so that you're never staring at your pantry hungry, about to cry because you don't know what you're going to eat, because that will happen if you haven't planned. And that's also good. I mean, we do that for the kids. If they don't like what we've prepared, we always have vegetable soup available. You know, we have something available that they can eat that is an alternative that is healthy. So if they'd rather have that, they can have that. But that is, I think, a big tip and something that has saved us so many times. I really want to stress that you need to have some backup plans.
Backup plans are huge. Like, we kind of laugh at our house and kind of joke about the fact that the weekends are really, I pick one day, either Saturday or Sunday typically, and all I do is cook for the vast majority of the day. I'll get groceries on Saturday and cook on Sunday, or I go on Friday and get groceries and cook on Saturday. Just kind of depends on what the rest of our weekend has. But I will literally spend 5 hours cooking, and I'm preparing as many meals as I possibly can to get us through the week. And sometimes we figure out halfway through the week, I didn't cook enough food, or we ate a whole lot more this week than normal. And I have an evening where I'm like up until who knows when, making sure that we have plenty of food to get us through the rest of the week.
Right. But we also always have those things in the freezer.
Yes.
You can throw chicken breasts in a crock pot. We've done that many times.
Or Instant Pot.
Yeah. Or use an Instant Pot. But have some things, you know, keep chicken breasts, you know, we'll have frozen chicken breasts in the freezer. We can throw those in the crock pot and figure out what we're going to do with it at the end of the day. You know, we can do that in the morning. It's ready by dinner. So there are some things that you can do and then figure out what you're going to do with it later. You don't have to have a recipe. So those are just some easy tips of things that you can do to help be prepared.
And welcome back to the show, everyone. If you're just tuning in today, we are talking about some practical tips for someone choosing to go gluten-free and dairy-free. And before the break, we were talking about planning ahead and meal planning and thinking about what it is and, you know, knowing what you're getting when you go to the grocery store. But another key part is when you're just out running errands, making sure that you have snacks, gluten-free snacks that are with you. If you get hungry while you're out and about, it's going to happen. You need to, you know, make sure that you have some sort of snack with you, because you can't just go through a fast food joint and expect to not get blasted with at least gluten, and probably gluten and dairy. It's just a critical piece to this puzzle.
So we tend to get Lara bars. I don't really know how you say it, but
either or.
Those have like 3 to 6 ingredients, and so there's much less of a chance that you're going to have some sort of reaction. There are a lot of good options, and we also sometimes give those to our kids. We always have them in the diaper bag in case we're out somewhere and they get hungry. That's a good, easy thing for us to pull out that is somewhat filling. RX bars are an option. They don't have a lot of ingredients either. They kind of have a weird texture, but try them. The flavor is usually pretty good. And the other thing I tell people is Kind bars are sometimes good options. They're based a lot in nuts. I do believe they have real chocolate on them, which would...
Some of them have chocolate. I don't know if they have milk chocolate or not. You got to look at whether there's dark or milk chocolate on them.
Yeah, there are a lot of completely dairy-free options, but do... you know, check out to make sure that you're not getting ones that have dairy in them if you're going dairy free. But they, if you like nuts, those are good options also.
I like macro bars, and I also like some of the Epic bars. They're like the meat stick things, or chomps. Those are good options that you can
right.
lean on if you're in a pinch as well.
And like I keep you know, number of these things in my purse. I keep them in the diaper bag. I have them in the glove compartment of our vehicles just in case you get stuck somewhere. Well, and I'm someone who I don't do well if I haven't eaten in a number of hours. Like some of you, this may not apply to because you're totally fine if you've got to go all day. TJ is one of those people.
Aaron is not.
I am not. I need to eat every few hours or I have an issue. So that's the, just something to be aware of that you've got to think about because it's not always easy to find something to eat really quick.
Yeah. And I want to go back and I want to talk about one thing because you talked about having stuff on hand and keeping things in the freezer. One of the key pieces of this, we have, you know, we make chicken noodle soup for the kids. I say for the kids, I really like chicken noodle soup too. But one of the things to remember about this, or a key tip, is don't put noodles in it until you're ready to eat it. It's not like how you used to make chicken noodle soup and then you'd put the noodles in the whole thing and you could store all that. If you put gluten-free noodles into a soup, they're going to continually suck up the water until there's no water left. They're going to swell and swell and swell and swell and swell. So there'll be no liquid left in the soup. So we'll make noodles as needed if we're putting noodles into chicken noodle soup or something like that. And then that also allows us, for us and for the kids, we can then really dictate how many noodles they're getting in that soup.
Yeah, we don't use a lot of noodles for the kids, and I don't like a lot of noodles. TJ's a little different, but we can add it however much we want. Personally, in our house, we tend to get, and I don't know how you pronounce this, is it Tinkyada? It's Tinkyada noodles. There are a number of different bags. They're either spiral noodles or like macaroni noodles. I personally have not found a lot of spaghetti, you know, like long noodles that I care for. And I'm super picky about noodles because I think the texture gets really weird.
Yep.
And a lot of them have a weird aftertaste to me.
And see, if texture doesn't bother you too bad, because for noodles and things like that, for me, texture doesn't bother me. There's also lentil noodles out there that I don't mind. The kids don't care for them. Aaron's not a huge fan.
Yeah.
But I don't mind them at all. And so there's different kinds. There's also black bean noodles.
Oh, yeah. They're all sorts. There are so many different types of noodles now that you can find. So you can do trial and error. Everyone's tastes are going to be a little bit different. But, yeah, in our house, we tend to do the Tinkyada noodles. They're rice noodles, and everyone is okay with them.
Yeah. They're most, in our opinion, what we've found so far is they're most like regular noodles.
Right. A number of people in my family have eaten them at our house and they're like, I would never know the difference. And so I think that's a really good sign that they are similar to gluten containing noodles.
Yeah. So we were transitioning there into like having snacks when you go out. The other thing that, you know, a natural next step for this is going to be, what do you do when you're going out to a restaurant? Oh, my. So restaurants are interesting and fun in their own right. It's probably not the if you're going gluten-free and dairy-free, you want to do that for just a little while before you decide to go out to a restaurant, because the key with that we have found is, or at least that I have found, is looking at the menus before you go to the restaurant. Because some places will have completely separate gluten-free menus. Some places will mark on their menus gluten-free options. Others will say, yep, we offer gluten-free, but you have to ask your server. But typically online, you can figure out what those gluten-free options are for food. And some places will say, yes, we cater to gluten-free. And then they have one salad and one shrimp dish that is all they offer that's gluten-free. And
right.
You're like, well, that's not going to work.
Or you can get a burger with no bun and no fries, because we're in a, you know, a shared fryer or whatever it is. And that's something to be aware of, too, now that I mentioned the fryer. I have celiac, but I am not extremely sensitive to a shared fryer. What that means is if they are making, you know, onion rings or chicken fingers in the fryer, in the same fryer where they're frying my fries, I typically won't react simply because there's been gluten-containing products in that fryer. Now, if someone has, I mean, and a lot of people who have celiac disease can't do that, they will have a reaction. And
but,
so,
but also, let's I want to time out right there, and I also want to say, like, you may not be having a reaction because you don't eat a bucket of fries.
Right, and that's true.
They bring a portion, and she never finishes what they bring, even and if they bring a few.
And I very rarely go out to eat, to be honest. I mean, we do that on special occasions or if we want to get together with friends, but we're not doing that, like, on a Wednesday night. You know, I mean, it just, that's not something that we do because there is such a high probability that there's going to be some sort of cross-contamination. The only way that you can really avoid that and be confident in it is if you go to an allergen-free restaurant. And, you know, unfortunately with the pandemic, we had a number of them that we were fans of that ended up closing. So we're kind of on the hunt for new options out there. But if a restaurant caters to people who have issues with food allergies, you're probably going to be okay because they know what they're doing and they cater to that. But that's not to mean that, you know, not to say that you can't go out to eat. If we're eating with other people, a lot of times we will choose like a steakhouse or a bar and grill.
Yes.
Because you can get meat and vegetables and, you know, and I do fries a lot because I don't have a problem with a shared fryer. You still have to be careful though and notify your waiter because some fries have a breading on them. I find that a lot.
Yep.
Where, and I have found that not all waiters even know that. They'll bring them out and I'm like, do they this have a coating on it? And they'll be like, I don't know. And then they'll go back and say, oh yeah, we did check. And this is after I've already told them that I can't have gluten, that I have celiac. So you have to be very diligent. We've also, I mean, just recently we went to a restaurant and I got asparagus and they had told me you can't put the au jus. We were getting a steak. You can't put the au jus on the steak. That would be a problem. And then they brought me asparagus that had an, breadcrumbs on it. Yeah. And so,
but they swapped it out. It was no big deal.
It's not a big deal. But what I'm saying is
you have to be aware.
You have to be aware. And just because you told them you can't assume what they gave you is gluten free. You've got to check it and ask questions. And I know that that's difficult. If you are someone who doesn't normally want to be a pain, that's definitely where I'm at, but it's much worse for me to eat something I'm not supposed to eat.
Yeah. My go-to is always a steakhouse for the most part, even if they are like, well, our seasoning has gluten in it. I'm like, well, leave that off the
steak. Yeah, a lot of times we say no seasoning, and we'll probably talk about that later. But anytime you're talking about any blend of seasoning, if it's not a pure spice, could have gluten in it. So you need to be aware of that at the store and also when you go out to a restaurant.
All right. And welcome back, everyone. If you're just tuning in, today we've been talking about practical tips for going gluten-free and dairy-free. And right before the break, we were talking about going out to eat and finding restaurants and how we typically tend to stick to steakhouses. Those places typically are more gluten-friendly than other types of restaurants. But there's also Erin uses, like if we're on vacation or whatever, she uses an app called Find Me Gluten Free. It uses your location to find restaurants in the area that are gluten free. It's really nice. She typically does lots of research before we go somewhere.
Right. Because if we are on vacation, we're going to be eating out probably more than normal, at least, even though we always stay at a place that has a kitchen, we still will usually eat out for some meals. Find Me Gluten Free is a good app because people who are eating gluten-free will write in reviews and are pretty good about doing that for the most part, and not just strictly gluten-free restaurants. They'll do that even for chain restaurants and will say, you know, I had a reaction here, or the people seem knowledgeable.
Yeah.
You can also look on Yelp. They'll have some things, but Find Me Gluten-Free tends to be a little more helpful, in my opinion. But that's really hit or miss depending on the location you're at.
Yeah.
There are times when I'll look at for a specific place and there will be nothing on Find Me Gluten Free within like 30 miles or something. And then you've got to go to Yelp, or you just kind of have to go and, you know, work it out, get a grilled chicken breast.
Tell them don't put anything on it.
Right.
Just grill
I mean,
chicken breast,
you know,
and
you
bring
do
you some
the
broccoli.
Best you can. And then I don't know if you wanted to talk. We're not big fans of fast food, obviously.
I say with fast food, for the most part, just avoid it like as much as you possibly can. If you get into a bind, ask wherever you're at, hey, what do you have that's an option? Most places have some sort of salad. A lot of times there's croutons on it, so you want to make sure to leave those off. But for the most part, I say just do your best to avoid avoid fast food, because there's you run the risk of so much cross contamination going on, because these places, they're small. They don't have dedicated areas where they can deal with gluten-free products. I mean, even places like, you know, we've seen it like Pizza Hut or Domino's. They have a gluten-free crust option, but if you go to order it, they have warnings on there saying, hey, we don't have a dedicated gluten-free area, so there will be some cross-contamination. I appreciate them for doing that, because they're letting people know, hey, yeah, we have this gluten-free option for people who are trying to avoid gluten, but if you're celiac, you might want to avoid. And that's my take for fast food as well.
Right.
It just keeps us out of the trying to tell someone, oh, yeah, go here, and then someone with celiac goes and they have a problem. You're going to probably have cross-reactivity or cross-contamination at places like that.
Right. I will say, so some of the things we have tried, I have gotten grilled nuggets and fries at Chick-fil-A. I have reacted before and not reacted before.
Yep.
So and not severe reaction. So I'm just saying, if you're in a bind, that's one that does not at least contain gluten. There might be some cross-contamination. Chipotle, if you get without cheese, get a bowl. I've tried that. Same thing. I don't feel good generally after I eat anything fast food, and so it's hard to say, was this a reaction or was this just like my body's not used to fast food? I've heard Chipotle is similar to Qdoba. That's another one. I haven't eaten there. You know, I don't know if I've ever eaten at one, but that's one that's been mentioned to me. When we traveled a number of months ago, we drove to Hilton Head for vacation, and we packed picnics. And we set the kids, we've got pictures outside a gas station. There was grass in the back, and we were in the middle of nowhere, but the kids were hungry. And so
lost their minds hungry.
Yeah. And so we just pulled over and got out some, you know, I don't even remember. I know we had hard-boiled eggs was one of the things we had. I don't know. We had a number
because
of
that
things.
Was a mess.
It was a disaster.
Oh, that was fun though.
Yeah. But you just have to be prepared. That goes back to you have to plan ahead, because we were not anywhere that, I mean, there might have been a McDonald's nearby, but I mean, that's it. There wasn't anything. Oh, another thing we've tried is McAllister's, and that was that has worked.
Yeah, that has worked. They that hasn't been too bad.
So, if you end up having to eat fast food, just know, okay, it's not going to be healthy, but I can probably avoid gluten and dairy if, you know, you search hard enough for it.
Yeah.
So I think that's important.
Yeah. And so another thing is, like, when you're trying to cook at home and you're going into, like, okay, well, what am I supposed to cook? What can I cook? Like, if you're looking for recipes, paleo recipes are inherently gluten-free and dairy-free. I also tell people, you know, just pay attention to, like, I recommend a lot of Mediterranean type diet or paleo or a mix in between, because those are typically more gluten-free. But one of the key pieces is, while you're doing this, is making sure you get enough fat in your diet so you feel full. If you just switch to eating meat and vegetables and you don't get enough fat, you're going to be hungry and hungry and hungry and hungry. Fat gives you that feeling of fullness, and it's a very important piece of the puzzle in the transition.
Right. And I will say that this was something that I had to learn when I transitioned, because I don't love to cook. I can cook, but it's not something that, like, I, you know, love doing. I just have a million other things going on that I just, to be honest, would prefer to do. When I first transitioned, I would make a lot of, you know, meat and a vegetable and maybe a baked potato or something. And I was hungry all the time. I was always hungry. And then, you know, slowly I realized there's not a lot of fat in that, in what I was eating. And so you have to find ways to add fat in, or else you're going to be hungry. The other thing is, if you're eating whole foods, is to make sure that you're adding in flavor. Because if you're used to eating more packaged foods, or even dairy, because dairy adds flavor also, you're you will be surprised at how bland the food is if you're not adding in the flavor. I had mentioned with spices, beware of mixes because they could contain gluten, so make sure you're watching it. Whole spices are usually fine. We use a lot of Himalayan salt. Also, for vegetables and things, Bragg's amino acid or acids or coconut aminos are good to add flavor to meat and vegetables. So those are some options to add in some flavor.
Yeah, our kids actually eat. They like lots of spices and seasonings on their food. We can't make it like hot and spicy for them, but Lincoln loves lemon pepper. We found some lemon pepper that's gluten-free. I actually emailed the company. I'm not afraid to email a company or call them and say, hey, look, you know, I want to know, you don't actually have on your packaging that on the bottle that it's gluten-free, but does this contain any gluten? And they'll respond back with, no, this is what's in there. This is our process. This is how it's manufactured. There is no gluten that ever enters the facility. It's just this. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's great. I appreciate that. You know, what that tells me is they're just not paying for the certification to get gluten-free
on
their package.
And that was what I was going to say. I think that's a really big point. Like, we always say, make sure it says gluten-free. It's not 100% rule because there is a fee to be able to certify it as gluten-free. And so a lot of these smaller companies are not going to have the ability to spend the money to get that certification on their products. It doesn't mean that their products contain gluten. But if you are interested in eating them, you do need to check. Now, it's a liability issue for the companies. They're not going to lie to you, right? I mean, like, if you contact them and there's a possibility for cross-contamination, they're going to tell you that because they're not going to want it, you know, the liability of telling you that you can eat something that you end up reacting to. But that's just a little more legwork on your end. And, you know, the easiest thing to do is just, if you're getting a product that has a package, make sure it says gluten-free on it.
Yeah, if you're not going to reach out and ask them. You know, people ask me where we shop a lot. And we live in St. Louis. Where we're at, the Deerbergs close to us has a lot of options. I go to Fresh Thyme a lot. There's Whole Foods
big,
out there.
Those are big staples in our area, our Deerbergs and Fresh Thyme, just because they're close to us.
Right.
Right.
And then there's Whole Foods.
Whole Foods is great. They've got a ton more options than Deerbergs and Fresh Thyme, but it's more expensive.
Yeah. And then we've also got, you know, there's Aldi's and Walmart is starting to bring on more. So the options are growing out there. You just got
Trader Joe's, Costco.
Yeah. You just got to look for them yourself and in your area. But that's about all the time we have for today's show. If you want more information, please visit our website, inhstl.com. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We're out there everywhere. Aaron's on Instagram. I'm out there as well. Shoot us an email, info@inhstl.com. Call us. Call the office, 314-293-8123. We're happy to help. We hope you've enjoyed it. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. Thanks for listening.
Get more at 971talk.com.